and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it is a great joy to be back with all of you. Someone was asking me just this week, so where is your congregation? And I said, well, I'm not here very often, but my office is here. But you are very much, in many ways, my congregation, and it is a joy to be back with you. I was struck by the words in 2 Thessalonians 1 in terms of sort of my attitude for this congregation. Paul writes, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. And it's been my privilege over the years to watch God do that in this congregation. We have the story of Zacchaeus this morning, and Jesus announces his mission to the lost. And my question for you this morning is, have you ever been really lost? At least in a geographical sense. I've told some of you the story before of a time when my roommate in college and I got lost. We were visiting a fellowship in Philadelphia. We were heading back to a school in New Jersey, and we just got plain lost. We didn't have a map. We thought we knew our way. We ended up in the middle of nowhere. He went into a bar to get directions. And then came out, and I said, well, where are we supposed to go? He said, they wouldn't tell me. They just laughed at me. They said, you're a college kid. Figure it out. Well, we eventually drove around enough that we saw something familiar, and we made it back. But we were really lost. This is in the day before smartphones or GPSs, and without a map, we were in trouble. Another time we got lost is when I was cruising on a small sailboat with my dad up the coast of New England, and all of a sudden the fog just settled in as we were out in Long Island Sound. We couldn't see the shore at all. And we saw some buoys. We thought we knew where we were, but Dad made the smart decision to simply anchor right where we were and not move an inch. We heard the sound of voices not far away, on the beach, and we thought, oh, we're probably by the entrance to the harbor. We could just follow these buoys and go into the harbor. But my father said, no, we'll stay put until the fog lifts. Fortunately, he made that decision, because had we gone where we thought the channel was, we would have gone right into the beach, which would not have been fun. There's a deeper kind of lostness. Think of the song years ago from a group called Blind Faith, kind of appropriately named, with a singer named Steve Winwood, and he had this line based on the story of the prodigal son. He said, I'm wasted, and I can't find my way home. That's a deeper kind of lost. That's where you wonder what you're doing in the world. That's when you wonder how your life is going. When you look around and have a sense of radical disorientation, you're not happy with yourself, you're not happy with others, and you're not in a deep relationship with God who can pull you out of that place. That's a deeper lostness. And what I want to talk about this morning is, in the story of Zacchaeus, I want us to become a people who have the eyes to see the lost. The ones around us, the ones disoriented, not in relationship not only with God, but not in great relationships with others. Zacchaeus is a prime example of such a person. He was a tax collector, and in those days, he's the chief tax collector. He was responsible for all the tax collectors in Jericho. They all answered at him. It was almost a mafia operation. He bid to the Romans to get the contract, and then has to produce a certain amount of money for them. And so he's twisting the arms of the local tax collectors to pony up. And of course, this is not good news for the people of Jericho. So he would have no relationships with those people. He's on the side of the oppressors. He's got plenty of money, but he's lost. He's lost relationally, he's lost in terms of his life work, he's lost spiritually. If you had to pick one person in Jericho that the Jews of that town would have said was in bad shape, it would have been Zacchaeus. In fact, as you look at the narrative, they say Jesus has gone to be in a house of a sinner. Well, he's the chief sinner probably in their town, the least likely to turn around spiritually, but he was seeking. Climbs up in a tree to get a better view of Jesus. The one least likely to believe is the one seeking to believe. I had the experience this week of having an Uber driver. I'm doing a lot of that recently as I travel. Sometimes it's a lot easier to just get a couple of rides from Uber than to rent a car. And I sort of asked him his story. I mentioned what I've been doing in the Raleigh area. And he said that as a child, he had a drug habit. I sort of paused. And then he went on to say, they drug me to church every week. But he walked away from the faith as he went off to college. And in his early 30s, he was in a terrible car crash. He had 3 months in a coma, 8 months hospitalized. When he got out, he got into an alcohol problem that got worse and worse until one day he realized that God had reached out to him. He had a sense of conviction that he needed to stop drinking, and he went to AA. He told this story that God was after him to his AA group, and someone there said, well, do you have a church? And he said, no. And so he was invited to church with this man, and the first Sunday he was there, he heard a call to respond to the gospel. He came forward, gave his life to Christ, and he said his life has never been the same since. Radical conversion. But up until the car crash, you would have put him in the Zacchaeus category. Going off the track, life falling apart, but not looking. Well, Zacchaeus was picked out by Jesus. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't normally talk to people in trees. But Jesus saw something going on in this man in a way we can't understand, but obviously the work of the Father and the Spirit. And so he goes into Zacchaeus' house, invites himself in, and in the process of all that, Zacchaeus' heart is radically changed. He gives up much of his belongings, half of what he has, and an additional amount for reparations. He moves from stingy to generous, and he fulfills the Old Testament command to make up what you've taken from others, basically stolen from others. And he moved from lost to save. How do we know that? Well, you can look at your Bibles. We're in Luke chapter 19, but this is the famous set of verses. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, verse 9, Luke 19:9, today salvation has come to this house. And then looking around, he says, since he is also a son of Abraham. From the Jewish perspective, this is the least likely son of Abraham. And Jesus goes on to say, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Well, if we belong to Jesus, we're called to be on the same mission. And today, with everything going on, is a great day to review our own mission. Reagan is about to be baptized. She's going to be baptized to be a missionary on that mission. Several are to be confirmed and received to be on mission for this part of the body of Christ, this Anglican tribe, if you will. And of course, we're ordaining Scott to the priesthood. And he'll be ordained to lead in the mission of teaching and sharing the gospel and sharing the sacraments. We're all on the same mission, to seek and to save the lost. The mission hasn't changed. Three notes from the story of Zacchaeus that I want us to see as to how this mission is accomplished. First of all, Jesus goes ahead of us. Secondly, hospitality is the key to the mission of Jesus. And finally, people can be radically changed by Jesus. First, Jesus goes ahead of us. He's always ahead of us. He reached out to Zacchaeus because he was aware that Zacchaeus was actually on a spiritual search. He knew that God the Father was already working in this least likely person, this sinner. Jesus is always working ahead of us. As you're sharing the gospel with somebody, and they have any kind of response, it's because the ground has already been laid by Jesus. We make the assumption that people are just so far from God that he's not doing anything in their lives, and that's not how it generally works. He's always trying to reach everyone all the time, laying out circumstances and opportunities and discouragements and failures. Those are all setups for the gospel. He's working in everyone. Evangelism, our sharing the good news, is always a follow-up act. Now, not everyone will respond, but Jesus does bring people into our lives whom he has already been working on. Don't ever assume that the Lord isn't reaching out to somebody. Secondly, note the context. Zacchaeus comes down from the tree, and Jesus, as I said, basically invites himself into Zacchaeus' home. But the heart there of that is that relationships get built in homes, by and large. Hospitality is the key to mission, particularly in our culture, particularly right now, where we have rates of loneliness that are higher than we've ever seen. Inviting somebody into your home or going into theirs puts you in a context where relationships can be formed. I'm not against Starbucks. I was just there this week. But Starbucks is not a substitute for home. We need to be inviting people into our homes or going into their homes, as the case may be. When I look back at my own coming to Christ, I spent countless hours as a guest in the apartment of the couple who shared Jesus with me. Hour after hour, day after day with them. Got to watch them as they interacted. Got to hear them talk about the Lord. But the fact that I was in their home made a huge difference. Hebrews 13, 1 to 2 says this, "Let brotherly love continue." And then goes on to say, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Probably a reference back to Abraham and Sarah entertaining some angels unaware. The word for showing hospitality to strangers is one Greek word, philoxenia. Well, we know that a xenophobe is somebody who's afraid of a foreigner or afraid of a stranger. Philo, we know from this city of brotherly love. Philo is a Greek word for love. Philoxenia is the love of the stranger. And it's interesting, that's all the word means, but because in that culture, if you were going to love a stranger, you did so by having them come into your home, so it came to be the word for hospitality that we see in Hebrews. I had a good conversation with the vestry yesterday, very grateful for that. This parish wants to grow, which is a kingdom goal. But one of the things we wrestled with is what can be done to make this church more welcoming to strangers, to newcomers? How can you increase the hospitality? Is that a high goal? The challenge for everyone, particularly in the church, is are we here to be consumers with worship the way we like it? Or are we missionaries coming here not only to be prepared for mission, but have a place that's welcoming enough to newcomers that we can bring them here as we're on mission? I'll let you sort that all out. But hospitality is a key way that the gospel gets transferred. Finally, we need to understand that people can be radically changed by encountering Jesus. Zacchaeus went from a tax collector to a generous disciple in an afternoon. Read this in a commentary on the passage, which really caught my attention. He said, in ancient accounts of discipleship, a radical response with possessions was a certain sign of newly acquired devotion to the teacher. Let me read that again. In ancient accounts of discipleship, a radical response with possessions was a certain sign of newly acquired devotion to the teacher. You all are in a stewardship season. Does your giving represent a radical response to the love of Jesus? Well, Jesus changes people dramatically, as we've seen in the story of Zacchaeus. We have a friend who went from being an atheist blogger one day to a believer in less than a week's time. The people you think are least likely can change. Keep your eyes open for people who are lost. They may have no openness to the gospel on one day and be very open the next. And don't assume that anyone is beyond responding to the love of God after Jesus has been at work in them. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying? He says, we had no chance of saving ourselves. Dead people can't rescue themselves. But God intervened and made us alive together with Christ. And part of what Paul is saying, and you can almost hear it in the way he words it, he's saying, us. Can you believe he would save us? Well, if the Lord can reach us, he can reach anyone. Keep your eyes open. There are people like Zacchaeus all around you. I also suspect that there's some Zacchaeus people here this morning, people whose dreams have been unfulfilled, searching after the wrong things, desperate for hope, lonely, maybe no human relationships, or maybe the ones they have are not enough, feeling guilty for selfish decisions made, and open to Jesus. If that's where you are this morning, these are all marks that Jesus is after you today. So will you come down from whatever place you've put yourself? And will you invite him into your life as Lord today? Having said all that, I want to focus for a moment on Scott, because he's called to be a shepherd of lost and found sheep. That's no small calling. And so I want to just take these words from 1 Peter and apply them to him as a charge. So Scott, if you'd stand. I've adapted them from 1 Peter 5. So I exhort you, as an elder, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And the chief shepherd, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks today that you have invited us into your kingdom, into your family, that you've called us to be your people operating in a world of people who are disoriented and lost. Help us to draw closer to you that we may with joy be on your mission to seek and save the lost. And Father, I pray for anyone who's feeling lost today that they would draw near to you, that they would be open to giving their lives over to your control, recognizing they can't make it on their own, that they need a Lord and they need a Savior. And I pray especially for Scott that as he comes into this new area of ministry as a priest, that you would help him shepherd those sheep that you've put under him, and help those sheep to find the lost sheep. We commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.